Morning. Today's Daf in Chulin's Chav Tes. We are on Chav Ches Amud Beis. We are approaching the bottom of the Amud by Rav Yirmiyah, where we left off yesterday. We are picking it up. Questions as follows. Before we get to the question, let's get to the halacha. Halacha is that according to Rav Yehuda, you have to cut the vridim. So in addition to cutting the simonim, so Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah told us you have to cut the vridim. The Gemara yesterday qualified. Rav Yehuda wasn't talking about every shechita. Rav Yehuda was just talking about the shechting of a bird. This is, by the way, Rav Chista's understanding of Rav Yehuda, although nobody argues. So the Rav Chista says that Rav Yehuda was not talking about cutting the blood vessels because of the shechita, but simply because of the blood and blood extraction. And what Rav Yehuda wants, according to Rav Chista, is that he wants the blood to be removed from the bird. Why? We want the blood to be removed from any animal, in every animal. So why specifically birds? So the svar the Gemara gave yesterday is because when it comes to a bird, you're going to be roasting the bird in its entirety. You shech the bird and then you put it right in the pit. And so what we want to do is we want to get out the blood at the time of shechita. In fact, the Gemara pointed out yesterday, it's the best time to get the blood out because the blood is still warm, body temperature, and so therefore it's going to be flowing out of the animal. So make sure that while you're cutting either the pipe or the trachea, either the pipe or the esophagus, and you remember in yesterday's daf, the Gemara had a debate, machlokas, whether or not it could be either one of the two, or necessarily it has to be the esophagus, but the Gemara's conclusion yesterday, a very clear conclusion, it could be either one. So that means to say that when I'm cutting either one, so according to Rav Yehuda, make sure that you cut the vridim, not as part and parcel of the shechita, but simply because we want to get the blood out. That was the Gemara yesterday. By Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah now asked the following question, and this is where we're picking it up. Vridim l'Rav Yehuda shah b'hen daras b'hen mahu. What if I do any one of the psulei shechita to the vridim? Now, it's an interesting question of Rav Yirmiyah. We just got done saying that the cutting of the vridim is nothing to do with shechita. It's not a ma'aser shechita. It's just there for the purpose of blood extraction. So Rav Yirmiyah's question seems to be a little bit strange. So, however, what we could suggest is as follows, meaning we're not changing our original assumption. It could very well be that the vridim are there for just the blood extraction. But in terms of the question of Rav Yehuda, in terms of the question of Rav Yirmiyah, maybe what the question is predicated on is this idea that because the vridim are going to be cut in conjunction with either the veshet or the kana, so maybe what Rav Yehuda now wants us to do is do it in the same manner. Not because it's a ma'aser shechita, just simply because we're going to be doing it anyway, we're going to be cutting it anyway, and the mindset maybe should be that I should have all the psulei shechita included when cutting the vridim as well. Anyway, the Gemara arrives at a very clear answer to this question. Exactly how it was reported, somewhat of a discrepancy, but in either event, quoted in the name of Yochanan, menakvan bekotz vehing sherim. You could take the blood vessels of the neck and you could pierce them with a thorn and that would be fine. Meaning something which of course would be totally inappropriate by shechita, but if you want to sever the blood vessels in that manner, it's totally fine. And again, the whole point of cutting the blood vessels there is for blood extraction. It's not part of the ma'aser shechita. Tanya kavasi de Rav Chista, the Gemara quotes the Braisa supporting Rav Chista. Shachat shnei chatzai simanim ba'of paso. If I cut each pipe, but only half of each pipe, it's disqualified. It has to be the majority of one of the pipes. And by an animal, it goes without saying that cutting half of each of the pipes is no good. By behema, remember, the obligation is to cut through both pipes. So if I only do half of each, of course it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Ba'ofa, Chishchot, Esav Veshet, the Esav Ridim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, by a bird, clearly in the Brice over here, the cutting of the vridim of the blood vessels is only specific to birds. It's not by animals. So this is exactly in line with what Rav Chista taught us in the beginning of the whole sugya, which is that the only reason why I'm cutting the blood vessels is because it's a bird and it's not part of the ma'aser shechita. Had it been part of the ma'aser shechita, obviously you would have to do it for birds and for animals as well. Adkan. The Gemara now is going to treat us to a really interesting machlokas between Rav and Rav Kahana. And for almost an amud of Gemara, the Gemara is going to understand this machlokas in a specific manner. We are going to turn at the end of the sugya where the machlokas is understood on a different halachic framework altogether. But at least the way it's originally presented to us, it's really interesting. Also, in one of my afternoon shiurim, I discussed this gemara with some detail. But anyway, itmar rav amar mechza mechza karov rav kahana amar mechza mechza ina karov. Okay. So now we know this follows. As we've already established since the beginning of this perek, the perek started on Chav Zayin, with the top Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, and the Mishnah taught us that when I'm cutting the simanim, so by a bird it's the majority of one, and by an animal it's the majority of two. When I say majority, what do I mean? Here's what I thought I would have meant, meaning if you would have asked me to describe and interpret what majority means, I would have said majority means 51%. Now, yes, in halacha we have something known as rov hanira le'inayim. Sometimes the halacha demands that the rov be more than just 51%. It has to be easily discernible. That's rov hanira le'inayim. In other areas, halacha, sometimes you need not six, but you need 7 out of 10. Okay. See the 7th parak of Brachos for more discussion on that. But anyway, but in the meantime, however, what is rov? Majority, 51%. What the Gemara now is debating and deliberating, it's really interesting, is that maybe by Shechita, you know what rov could be? Rov could just simply be half. Now, I know in other areas of halacha, half never serves as rov. Where is this precedent? Where else do we find that a half can be serving as rov? But meanwhile, the Gemara is suggesting, according to Rav, mechza al mechza karov, that if I just go halfway through the siman, that's like the majority. Okay, I know, it's interesting. It's unusual. And Rav Kahana disagrees. Rav Kahana gives us what we classically understand. Do you know what rov is? Rov is the majority. Do you know what rov is not? Half and half. 50% is not the majority. Rav Kahana amar mechza mechza ina karov. Now, what is this machlok is going to be predicated on? Rav amar mechza mechza karov hachi amar le'rechman le'moshe lo tishai ruba. Look, there was a halach le'moshe mesinai of Hilchos Shechita to Moshe. What were the instructions Hashem said to Moshe? According to Rav, instructions go like this. Don't leave over the majority. Meaning Hashem used the word rov. But what he meant is don't leave over the majority. When you're shechting, so the siman that should go, the portion of it that should be left unshechted should not be the majority. I know that's a lot of negatives. And I know it's hard to process that. But the point is that if you've gone through half, so you have not left over the majority. That's Rav's understanding of the halach l'moshe m'sinai. Rav Kahana amar mechza mechza ina karov hachi amar le'rechman l'moshe shechot ruba. And Rav Kahana says, no, you know what the halach l'moshe m'sinai was? It was shechot ruba. Positively, you must go through the majority. Okay? So it's interesting. Rav and Rav Kahana are both arguing that the halach l'moshe m'sinai had the word rov incorporated into it. It's just now a question of what exactly were the instructions vis-a-vis the rov. That's how much you should be doing, that's Rav Kahana, or that's how much you shouldn't leave over, that's Rav. That's the way the Gemara presents it. Super interesting. The Gemara now is going to deliberate and discuss. We're going to go through 4 different Mishnayos and Braisos that are going to either support or attack one of these positions. Tanan, so we start off the Siman. It gives us the mnemonic to help us remember the 4 upcoming Braisos. So the Mishnah said half by a bird and 1.5 by an animal is no good. It's not enough. And the Gemara asked such a wonderfully simple question. Simple and powerful. According to Rav, how did you understand that Mishnah? You are of the opinion, says Rav, that if you do mechza mechza, that is kirov. And therefore the Shechita would be good. And meanwhile the Mishnah says it's not good. How do you handle that? So midrabanan dilma ad asi paga dilma asay, sorry, dilma lo asi lema ava paga. So Rav will tell you that no, really meikar adin it's kasher, but 50% you are on literally on the border of good versus no good, and 50% now, and you don't know with clarity whether you got 50% or not. So the chachamim said, you know what, do more just for the purposes of assurances and insurance. But in other words, but may ikar hadin, 50% is considered good enough. And the Mishnah is only giving us a din derabanan of a harchaka, just to make sure that we got it.
So why doesn't Rav agree with Afghana then? It's a simpler thing.
No, but they're... But they disagree fundamentally. In other words, you're right. Practically now it comes out to be that they're the same, but fundamentally they disagree. And then you're going to have to ask me, then you'll ask me for a nafkamina, and then, you know, I'll struggle to find one. But fundamentally they disagree. I'm Rav Ketina Tashma, Chalkul Ishnaim, Behein Shav Mishneim Tameim, Lefishi Eev Shalit Samtsem. You broke it clean to 2 parts. Now, in terms of Kalim, So we know the halacha is by kli, that a kli is going to be mekabel tuma, and it does not become tahor until it's broken. And the broken pieces have to constitute anything less than the majority. Meaning as long as there are minority pieces of the kli that's broken, so it's no longer going to be mekabel tuma, even if the kli at one point in time was tameh, but if it breaks, so the shards are not going to be mekabel tuma, as long as that shard is less than 50%. Says the Mishnah in Kalim, that if it breaks into two, and each piece is 50%, so then it's going to become, each piece still remains tameh, not become. Each piece is going to remain tameh, and the reason why is Lefish Yeshal Samson. Because we don't know with absolute. We don't know 100% sure which piece is bigger than the other one. And so one of them is going to be a rove. We just simply do not know which one. And so therefore the tumah does not go away from either one of them. Now, consider, says the Gemara, Efshal et Samsem. Now, if precision was possible, if it was possible, tahorin, each piece is going to be tahor, because now we know that each piece is not the majority. Each piece is exactly 50%. So am I tahorin zilhacha ikaruba? Zilhacha ikaruba. Now, according to Rav, isn't 50% considered the majority? And it's really interesting, because what the Gemara now is doing is, it's now globalizing this machlokas of Rav and Rav Kahana. Because previously we were talking about Shechita. Now we're talking about the halachas of Tumah and Kalim. And so what the Gemara's understanding is that if they're arguing about this point, about 50%, whether that serves as majority or not, if they're arguing that by Shechita, so they're also going to argue by that, by Tumah and Tahara, by Kalim. So it's really interesting how the Gemara thinks that this is not necessarily a limited machlokas. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa Tre Rube Bechad Manaleka. So Rav Papa says like this, even if I do subscribe to Rav, and that is that 50% is the majority, but here's what I cannot have. And I know this is going to be mind-bending, but here's what I cannot have. I cannot have two majorities in one item. Even though, I'm going to say the sentence, and I know it's a lot of fun to say it and to think about it. Even though 50% is a majority, but I can't have two majorities in one item. You're saying right as if it's so straight. Meaning, I know it's right, but it's like, it is hard to process. But, okay, Tashma, here we go now.
Suffix, that's what it is.
I don't know if it's a suffix. I think it's just, it sounds like more of a principle.
No, because the way Rashi says, if one is the ruba, then the other one is the mild. And if the other one is the ruba, then
right.
So it's a suffix which one it is.
I know, but the Gemara, I understand, but the Gemara presents it with the ha efshel et samtzem, meaning if I can know with precision. So I'm just...
You don't know which one is the biggest.
No, but, okay, anyway, let's move on. Tashma, I could spend the rest of today on the line. Anyway, Tashma. Shachach chatzi gragos v'shaba kidei shchita acheres v'gamar shchita sakshera. Okay, so you cut chatzi gargaris. You took the pipe and you sliced it halfway through its circumference. And then what do? You take a coffee break because you worked hard and you deserved it and you earned it. So you take a little bit of a coffee break. I I'm joking. And you know, yesterday I already pointed out, we're not condoning this kind of behavior. It just simply means that the animal is not yet geschachted. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to point out that the animal, because we're talking about the windpipe, we're talking about the trachea. So the same thing. So the Gemara is just simply highlighting that half is not considered yet geschachted. So the v'gamra shchita sokshera. So the, and then you finish off the job. The shchita would be good. V'amart mechza mechza karov itra filet. So the Gemara says now, according to you, Rav, again we keep running into the same problem. In other words, mechza mechza. According to you, that's rov. So you know what you just did? You finished the shchita already by going through half. You finished the shchita. And consider, if we're talking about an animal, so you didn't finish the shchita. But at the same time, now you already cut the first siman, and now you took a break. That's shehiyah. That's a pause between siman and siman, and that should disqualify the shechita. So according to you, Rav, how did this case work? So the Gemara says, Misvars bebehem lo ba'of. So the Gemara says, okay, we're not talking about an animal over here in defense of Rav. We're talking about a bird. So mimanav shach, imechza, mechza, karav, ha'avi le'ruba. Imechza, mechza, ena, karav, lo'avi, lo'avi, lo'klom. And so now, in either event, the bird's going to be fine. Because if I subscribe to Rav, that Mechza Mechza is considered Rov, so now the bird is geshechted. If Mechza Mechza is not kerov, so the animal's not yet shechted, but when I go and finish the job, it will be shechted. So over here, I could learn this price like a Rav, I could learn it like Rav Kahana, either way would work out fine. And now the fourth price, the Tashma. Okay. And this case we keep running into again and again. It is really the limit of what the minimum amount you need to do in the shechita being good shechita. You didn't do any of the cutting yet, and the trachea right now is halfway sliced through. You didn't do it. Just in other words, it happened organically, where the trachea is 50% now cut through. And so what you do is you come in and you just give it the smallest little incision, and now you're good. The shechita is going to be a good shechita. Now, previously, this case is just slightly different than the previous case, because in the previous case, you shechted that first half, and then you took a coffee break. Here, organically, the trachea was already opened up halfway through, and now what you do is you just come and add just a little bit, and the shechita is now considered a good shechita. Now, according to you, Rav, this is extremely problematic. So you, Rav, are of the opinion that mechza mechza is now considered like rov. Do you know what this animal now is? The animal is a trefa. How do you deal with this, with that problem? So what Rav will tell you is as follows. As far as hilchos shechita is concerned, so 50% is considered rov. As far as trefa is concerned, nah. You need a rov hanir le'einayim, you need a significant rov. One that's easily discernible. To which the Gemara says, come on, really? Meaning, I know I'm paraphrasing, but you'll see it in the sign of the Gemara in just a moment. You mean to tell me that for hilchos shechita, we could literally be teetering on the edge of 50% and we're going to call that rov. And in hilchos trefa, we're going to be more lenient by hilchos trefa. The animal's not going to be in trefa until it's easily discernible as a rov. The Gemara says it's hard to understand. Amalei Abai velo kol dekein hu. So let's get this straight, says Abaye. When it comes to trefa, do you know that there are certain times where a trefa is a kolshehu, a perforation of the esophagus? Any perforation, it does not matter what size the hole is, any perforation of the esophagus would render the animal trefa. And there are other such types of trefas in an animal. Again, third paragraph, we're going to be discussing them. The point is that by trefa, we could be talking in the most minuscule of terms, and the animal is rendered a trefa. And you're now saying that, oh, but when it comes to the trachea, we can totally relax. And even though, yes, it's true that if the majority of the trachea is severed, so that doesn't mean the majority. It means it has to be a super majority. It has to be a rov hanir le'einayim. Really? If in other areas of trefa, the smallest amount renders it a trefa, and you're telling me that rov, we could be relaxed by rov, it's hard to imagine. Shechita adika rov lo miskashra lo kol shekin to be in a rov anir le'inayim. And now by shechita, like what is the starting point by shechita? The hello by shechita is rov. That's the starting point. And now you want to tell me that, you know, it could be an exacting rov? Meaning if you're ready to be relaxed by trefa, so you should for sure be ready to be relaxed by shechita, where the whole starting point is rov. So ela dekule ama mechza mechza ena karov. So the Gemara finally concedes the point. The Gemara says you are right. So even though we spent a lot of time, at least entertaining the idea that for Rav mechza mechza is considered like rov, the Gemara finally concedes that no, that is not true. When it comes to shechita, rov, means 51%. It is interesting, by the way, the Gemara leaves us off with a little bit of ambiguity at the end of this point, meaning does it mean rov or does it mean rov hanir le'einayim? Not clear from the Gemara's conclusion, and it happens to be the Rishonim debate this very point. But anyway, for our purposes right now, let's go on. V'chi idmar d'rav d'rav kahanalin yin Pesach. Now, there is a debate between Rav and Rav Kahana on a totally different matter, unrelated to Shechita, and that is Pesach. We know that if the majority of the Jewish people are, in fact, Tamei, so this year we could bring Tumah B'tzibur, Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, or Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur, right? Classic machlokas, but in other words, you need the majority of the Jewish people to be Tumah in order to get the allowance to bring Karban Pesach in a state of Tumah. What's on the table right now for a debate? What about 50%? What if 50% of the Jewish people are tummy and 50% are tar?
Exactly.
Harishai Yisrael mechsa taru mechsa tameim. Rav amar mechsa mechsa karov. Rav kahana amar mechsa mechsa ina karov. Now, Rav will tell you that there it's like rov, and therefore Pesach could be born in a state of tumah, and Rav Kahana says no. Rov means rov has to be the majority. So v'hasa my time of the rov, d'chsiv ish ish ki ye tameh lenefesh. Ish nidche v'ein tzibur nidchin. Ah. And the reason why over here we're having a debate as to whether or not 50% would constitute rov or not constitute rov is because you have to look at the starting point of the discussion. The Torah says, ish ish ki ye tameh lenefesh. If an individual comes into contact with Tumas Meis. So that means to say like as follows. As an individual, so you get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Once you're no longer in the camp of individuals, so then Pesach is brought Betuma. So that means to say now, when do we move from an individual to a collective? So since the Torah's starting point is Ish Ish, so that means that once you get now to 50%, you're no longer within the category of Ish Ish. You are now in the collective. So vis-a-vis the halachas of Pesach and being brought Betumah, this now constitutes Rav. That's Rav's understanding. And what Rav Kahana will tell you is very simply, I disagree. Rav Kahana will just simply say that no, that majority means majority, has to be 51%.
But obviously it's not a Rav or neither a nine, because it's different. One person.
Understood.
But Rav doesn't say it's Rav, is it?
That's what Rav says. In other words, in this context, but specifically in this context, not to be globalized or generalized to other areas of halacha.
51% by one person, even one person difference?
Yeah. Okay. Rov echad ba'of, and here we begin now our second sugya of the day. Our first sugya of the day took us through machlokas between Rav and Rav Kahana, whether or not, when the Mishnah says you have to cut through Rov, is that 50% or 51%? Although, after all said and done, the Gemara ends up conceding that both Rav and Rav Kahana agree that it has to be the majority, meaning more than 50%. Again, Rov and Irlei Naim, unclear by the Gemara's conclusion. And as far as that machlokas is concerned, totally unrelated topic, and that is when we get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, when we don't get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Our second sugya of the day is going to now be dealing with the following. The redundancy of the Mishnah. Look back at the Mishnah in Chav Zayin Amin Aleph, and the Mishnah repeats itself. The opening line of the Mishnah says that for a bird it's one, and for an animal it's two simanim. And if you do that, the shechita is a good shechita. The Mishnah then goes on to say, Rubu Shalach HaKamau, Rabbi Yudah Ma'ashi Yishchodes Avridim, Chatzi Echabov, Chatzi Be'meim Shechita Psula. And then the closing line of the Mishnah, Rov Echad Be'of, Rov Shnayim Be'meim Shechita Sekshera. So at the end of the Mishnah now, we are already in rinse repeat. The Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah now is telling us that the same thing that we already learned in the beginning of the Mishnah. And obviously, not a word of the Mishnah is extraneous. Every word has value to it and meaning to it. Every phrase of the Mishnah does. And so what is the Mishnah doing and repeating itself at the end, telling us information that we already know from the very same Mishnah? So the Gemara now discusses this very point. And so this sugya will take us now through the top of the Amud Beis. Rav Echad Ba'of Tanin Echad Azimna, we already learned this one time, Rubu Shalach HaKamau. So what is the Mishnah doing repeating itself in the very same Mishnah? Amar Rav Hoshi Echad Bechulim Vechad Bekachim. Ah, the Mishnah needs to tell us the following. That when we say that Rov is good, we mean it both by Chulin and we mean it by Kachim as well. One line of the Mishnah is dedicated for the discussion of Chulin. The second line of the Mishnah is dedicated for the topic of Kachim. Now, I went one step ahead of myself because I already told you now, I just identified which section of the Mishnah is Chulin, which section of the Mishnah is Kachim. Pretend I didn't say that. Okay, for now. Meaning, because that's coming up in just a moment. Utsricha. And the Gemara now says that it's necessary. Here, if the Mishnah would have only told me the halacha that Rov is good for Chulin, I would have said, okay, stop right there. It's good by Chulin, but not by Karban. Because remember, what's the objective by Karban? The objective of Karban is to get the blood. That blood is going to be sprinkled on the Mizbech. That's the Ikar Avoda. So therefore, by a carbon, I would have said, don't stop at Rov, continue until you shecht all of it, because I need the blood. So and if I would have had the halacha only by carbonus, by kachim, that Rov is sufficient, I would have said, okay, by chulin, you know what, we could scale back. Because consider that by kachim, I need the blood, so therefore go do Rov. What about by chulin? Just half. Half is good enough. Half is good enough, it's not Rov. Okay, but the Gemara entertained the beginning of this morning's a sugya, the beginning of today's daf, that maybe, okay, but maybe half would be good enough for chulin. Again, we're just entertaining the idea. That's why I need it by both. So, hai b'chulin v'hai b'kachim. Good. So now we've already explained that the redundancy of the Mishnah has to do with the fact that part one of the Mishnah's, there are two parts of the Mishnah. One is for chulin and one is for kachim. But now could we even further identify in the Mishnah which one is for chulin, which one's for kachim? And the Gemara in many different ways is going to be making the same point. We can identify it positively. Amar Rav Kana mistabra reisha b'chulin v'seifa b'kachim. First part of the Mishnah is talking about chulin, second part is talking about kachim, and we're going to do this a number of different ways. So this is Rav Kahana. This will be our first way of analyzing the Mishnah. Mimai. Midik tani ha-shochei. Because in the beginning of the Mishnah, it opens up with the words ha-shochei. If that first line of the Mishnah was talking about karbanos, what should be the opening word of the Mishnah? Malin. Not ha-shochei. Remember, it's ha-shochei echad ba'of. Not shchita, malika. So, v'isak adacha reisha b'kachim ha-molek mi-bayelei. So that's why I know that the first line of the Mishnah is talking about chulin, not by karbanos. The Gemara says, really? So let's look at that second line, that last line of the Mishnah. Elamai. Sefer b'kachim shchita suk shera, malika suk shera mi bayilei. Yeah, but the end of the Mishnah, it says shchita suk shera. One of those two things that were referenced is a bird. So if that's true, it should say malika suk shera. The Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't bother me. Halokasha, I did the salak me behema tani na mishchita kshera. So yeah, but you see at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Rov Echad Ba'ov, V'rov Shnayim Be'behema. Since it's coming off the Behema, that's why the Mishnah is ending off comfortably saying Shchita. Ah, very good. So, Ala Reisha Michti La'al'ov Kai, Yisakadacha B'kashim Ha'molek Mi'bayile. But you see in the ratio of the Mishnah, it says Ha'shochet, and what's the next words? Echad Ba'ov. So it is modifying, the first thing it's modifying is the bird. And if that was in fact a carbon, that should be a molek, not hashochet. Okay. So that is now the first way we're going to do it. Rav Shimi bar Ashi amar resha b'chulin mehacha. Rav Shimi bar Ashi also is going to be arriving at the same conclusion. They're all going to be at the same conclusion. Every amar that we're going to be quoting now is arriving at the same conclusion. It's just different ways to get to the same destination. Mehacha dekani echa ba'of isak adacha b'kachem ha'ika ola sa'of debay shnei simanim. What a wonderful diak in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Echad Ba'of. If the first line of the Mishnah was talking about karbanos, but we know by birds there are two types of karbanos. One is a chatas, and the other is an ola. A chatas, you cut one simon. An ola, you cut two simonim. So therefore, it is not absolute. It doesn't say, it shouldn't say Echad Ba'of, because that's not absolutely correct. Elamai sefer b'kashim rov Echad Ba'of ha'ika ola sa'ov debay shnei simonim. So the Gemara says, okay, I love it, but when you get to the end of the Mishnah, so the end of the Mishnah says Rov Echad Ba'of. Can we just make the same exact point you just made? If we're talking about karbanos, so it's not Echad. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't bother me. My Rov Echad, Rov Kol Echad Ve'Echad. It means that you're going to be cutting the majority of each of the pipes. Uvidinu Delesne Rov Shnayim, but Kevin Dikachat is the Sagle Bechad Simon, Mishum Hachilop Sikale. But you see, in other words, the Mishnah would have been fine writing two, but remember that when it comes to a bird, there's a chatas and there's an ola. So two would have been good describing the ola, but it would not have been good describing the chatas. That's why the Mishnah said Rov Echad Ba'of, because it has to entertain both the ola and the chatas discussion, and so therefore had it said two, that doesn't include the ola. Okay. Number three, Rav Papa Amar Reish B'chulin Mehacha. Rav Papa also is going to be arriving at the same conclusion, but based on a different diuk. So Me'acha Diktani Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shishchot Esav Ridim Upliga Rabbanan Aleha. You see, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to cut the blood vessels, and on that the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say no, you don't have to go for the blood vessels. To which the Gemara says, now Iyamar B'shalma B'chulin Shapir. Now if we're talking about Chulin, I totally get it, but Ela Iyamar B'kashim Amay Pliga Rabbanan Aleha Hu Atzmo L'dam Mutzarech. If we're talking about a carbon, you shouldn't be going for the blood vessel. Of course you should be going for the blood vessel. The whole idea by carbon is to get the blood out into the bowl so that we can sprinkle it onto the Mizbeach. So there can be no point of dissension when it comes to the, if we were talking about carbonos. So obviously the first part's talking about chulin. Okay, this is now number four. Okay, I'm keeping score. Rav Ashi Amar Sefer B'Kashim Mehacha Diktani. Rav Ashi says, we're learning it now. I'm sorry, the end of the Mishnah is talking about karbanos, and I can be medayik in the following. Because it says, now don't look at this Mishnah, but look at the upcoming Mishnah we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. If I shecht two animals like one, I line up two animals side by side, next now are side by side. I take a long knife, and I run the knife back and forth over both of the necks. The Mishnah in tomorrow's daf tells us, it's the next Mishnah, Mishnayos, tells us that the shechita would be a good shechita. Now, the careful reading of that Mishnah would indicate that it's okay, but ideally one should not do this. Now, if we're talking about karbanos, I understand why ideally it should not be done this way. We have a halacha as it relates to karbanos. Halacha number one, when you, the Kohen, are shechting a karban, so don't have two people holding onto the knife, but rather one person should be shechting and only one person should be shechting. A special drasha as it relates to a karban doesn't seem to be connected with any concern that if two people are holding the knife, then we don't have maximum control of the knife. I could hear that argument. But it doesn't seem to be that that's the issue. The issue is special gzeiros hakasav that for karbanos, one person should be doing the avoda. Tizbechu shelo ye'echa shochesh nei zvachim. Now, Tizbechu who comes to teach me that regarding the animal, so the one Kohen should be shechting one animal. How do I see that from the Pasuk? Amar Rav Kahana, Tizbachei hu ksiv. Because of the Kri and the ksiv, the way it could be read and pronounced could be, is Tizbachei hu. You should shecht it, meaning the one animal. So, Iyamar b'chulin afilu chatchilanami. Now, had it been that we were talking about chulin, so what would be the preventative, what would be the hesitation of shechting two animals at once? Absolutely nothing. Meaning, even from a lechatchila standpoint, if you have a knife long enough, and you have a shochet strong enough, so then of course you could shecht two at a time. What would be any kind of hesitation to prevent us from shechting two at a time? The fact that the next Mishnah is talking about it's only okay b'dieva but not lechatchila seems to be that we're talking about karbanos, not chulin. And since that next Mishnah is attached to the end of our Mishnah, so therefore it seems like the end of our Mishnah is talking about karbanos. Yes.
The pasuk, you mean the pasuk tells you to
tizbachei
hu, but you mean the you can do it just b'dieved?
Yeah. Meaning, right, in other words, by karbanos, shina akasav la'akev. If the Torah wanted to tell us that it's a psul gamor, so the Torah would have repeated it. By virtue of the fact that the Torah gives us one drasha, so that means that lichatchila, this is not ideal. But, in other words, b'dieved, it's not psul. The karban wouldn't be psul. Okay, the Va'af Rabbi Shimon Malakish Shavu Reisha B'chulin V'Sefer B'Kashim. Dam Rabbi Shimon Malakish Me'achas Shanin Rubu Shalach Kamo Lama Shanin Rov Echad Ba'Ofer of Shlaim BeBehema. So look, Rabbi Shimon Malakish is bothered by our question, which is after having already told us the Rubu Shalach Kamo, why does the Mishnah have to say Rov Echad Ba'Ofer of Shlaim BeBehema? Lefisha Shaninu. Actually, this is related to a Mishnah in Yuma. Now we know on Yom Kippur, there's one star on Yom Kippur, that's the Kohen Gadol. He's really the only star. It's a one-man show. He's got to be involved in every avoda, and not just involved, he's got to be the Kohen doing the avoda for every avoda sayom on Yom Kippur, including the Shechitas Tamishol Shachar. Right? Tamishol Shachar, the first carbon that's brought every single day, so that has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Now, Here comes a good question with a neat trick. How can the Kohen Gadol be shechting the carbon, any carbon really, but how could it be shechting the carbon, the Tamishol Shachar on Yom Kippur, and then be Mekabel the Dam? Meaning if it's a one-man show and the Kohen Gadol has to be involved in every avoda, he's going to shecht and he's going to do Kabal Sadam, generally speaking, that's a two-man job. One Kohen will shecht and the other one will be there with the bowl to receive the blood. The Mishnah in Yuma tells us, here's what the Kohen Gadol is going to do. He's going to go through the majority of the pipes of the animal, not having completed the Shechita, and then quickly with a bowl, he's going to just take the bowl and put it right under the neck of the animal in order to catch the Dam HaNefesh. Good. That's the Mishnah in Yuma. The Mishnah in Yuma also then goes to point out that another Kohen is there, going to be there to finish off the job of the Shechita. Okay. Wait, hold it. So the Lefisha Shaninu. Okay, so we quote here the Mishnah in Yuma. Heviolos the Tamid Kartzu Merik Acher Shchita So Al Yado. So the Mishnah tells us that they bring in the Tamid Kirtso. Kirtso, right, and the Avoda on Yom Kippur and most of you hear this word a lot. So it means that he does the majority of the Shchita and then Merik Acher. Somebody else is going to come in now to do that last little minority. So shchitaso al yado yachol amir gei pasul. Now I might have thought that without somebody else finishing off the job it would be pasul. Lekach shanina rov echad ba'ofer rov shayim bebehema. Our Mishnah now, meaning the second half of our Mishnah, serves as like a supplemental note to the Mishnah in Yuma. The Mishnah in Yuma tells us that I have somebody else, not the Kohen Gadol, who's finishing off the job of the shchita. Now take that Mishnah, couple it with our Mishnah over here. And now we know that if I didn't have another Kohen finishing off the job, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Rov Shnayim is all you need. So Amar Mar Yochel Omer Ki Apostol. Now the Gemara says, even as a Hava Amina, did you really think that if I didn't have another Kohen finishing off the job, it'd be Apostol? So Im Kein Avilei Avoda Ba'acher V'Tanya Kol Avodi Yom Kippur Menek Sheros. The Gemara says, I don't even accept the Hava Amina. Like, what were you suggesting? What were you thinking? That if somebody else comes along and didn't finish the job, it's going to be possible. If that were in fact so then that would have to have been done by the Kohen Gadol. Right. Consider, the Kohen Gadol has to do every Avodah on Yom Kippur. If that little finishing off is an Avodah, it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So there's no way we could even entertain, I don't even accept the Hava Amina, says the Gemara, that if somebody else doesn't finish it off, so then it's going to be possible. It's not going to be possible. If it would have been, I would have needed the Kohen Gadol to do it. So the Gemara says, Ella, sorry, call avodah yom kippur nek sheres elabo, hachi kamar. Yochel yeh pasul midrabanan, desach adat chamina ikah pasul midrabanan, lekach shenina rov echabo v'rashayim bebehema. So the Gemara says that in the Hava Amina, we never entertained that it was a psul d'araisa, for the reason that we just articulated, but maybe it's a psul d'rabanan. Okay? Absol the Rabbanan. And it's, again, interesting. On Yom Kippur, the Avodah being done only one time a year, so if the majority was Shechta, but not the minority, so then rabbinically, the rabbis would have said, okay, we have to start again. Okay. But anyway. L'kach sheni rav echa barav v'ashnayim behem ha-me'achad afil apsol the Rabbanan leka lama l'merek mitzvah l'marek. Okay, so, as we just now concluded, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur does the Tamid Shel Shachar, and any carbon for that matter, so he does rov, he does the majority, and then he quickly grabs the bowl and collects the blood. And now we have just learned all together that was good. The majority was good. It's not a psul d'oraisa, and it's not even a psul d'rabbanan if nobody finishes off the job. So question, why is somebody there finishing off the job? If it's not a psul d'oraisa, not a psul d'rabbanan. And the Gemara gives a two-word answer, mitzvah lamarek. Well, it's a mitzvah to do so. Okay, so and what does that mean exactly? So Rashi here offers two explanations. Rashi on the top of the Amud, mitzvah lamarek mishum dam. And the first explanation, Rashi, is very straightforward, very simple, because again, we want to make sure that the blood is going to come out. And so therefore, have another Kohen coming along, finishing off the job, just to make sure, ensure that there's going to be more blood flow. Rashi offers another pshat, which he himself does not like. V'anisha mati biyuma mishum barava amadras melech. Maybe we want full participation. We want more people involved. Now, in general, that's a very compelling argument. Rov Amadras Melech is an argument that the Gemara uses in many other contexts. But Rashi says, but I refuse to hear that here as one of the arguments. Rashi dismisses it. So, v'ein li bikach. Dim kein kol avodas nami v'arei kasav hikpi b'kohen gadol v'girish et Rov Am. But Yom Kippur, it's a one-man show. On Yom Kippur, we don't want Rov Amadras Melech. On Yom Kippur, we want only the Kohen Gadol to be involved in the Avodah, to the exclusion of everybody else. So to use Rav Am Hadras Melech as an explanation of why we want other participation involved, on Yom Kippur, I do not accept that as an explanation. So says Rashi. Okay. Amar Rav Shimon Malakish, Mishum Levi Saba. We are now starting the next sugya, and this is going to be our last sugya for today. We're not going to finish the sugya. The finishing of the sugya happens in tomorrow's daf. Here we go with one of the highlights of the perek in terms of shchita. Like, this is super analysis over here, very conceptual debate in terms of how to view the act of shchita. Now, we have got done saying already numerous times in this perek alone even though it's not only the third day of this perek. In this perek alone, we have said now that the act of shechita is very simple. You take a knife, you slice it back and forth to cut through two simanim, the majority of two simanim, the trachea and the esophagus. Okay, good. Okay, good. So now what the Gemara is going to be discussing from a strictly conceptual standpoint, but obviously it's going to have practical applications. Stay tuned. Really, more in tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing what the practical ramifications of this debate is. So it's not philosophy, it's halacha. But right now we're dealing it really on a more abstract level, and that is the following question. When you start cutting now, right, and again, like if I can, I'm just going to give each section of the siman a marker, right? Right, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, like in other words, when you get halfway through, so that'll be the 50 marker. So as we're now going, cutting through the animal, so we know that shechita is going to be a valid shechita only when you hit the 51st marker. Now again, by an animal, because I have to cut two simanim, it's going to be the 51st marker of the second siman. That's great. We all understand that. When I go from 0 to 51, does that have shechita status? Is that called shechita? Or what would be the other possibility? Just in other words, I'll call it, I'm using my own terminology, it's like a heksher. It's just a means to get to 51. But in other words, that doesn't have shechita status. The way the Gemara articulates this debate is yesh no l'shechita mitzchila v'yatsof, or eino l'shechita ela l'besof. At what point does it have the status of shechita? From beginning to end, or only when you get to the end? And again, I know it's a lot to wrap around. It's a big idea. It's a big concept. And the Amoraim are debating, and not just any Amoraim, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So we'll start with Reish Lakish. Amar Rishim and Malakish Mishum Levi Sabe in Shechita Ela B'Sof. So Reish Lakish says that Shechita is only at the end. Everything up until that point in time was just prep. But only when you get to 51 of the Siman, then and only then is it considered Shechita. The way Rashi phrases it, I'm looking at the third line of Rashi, in L'Shechita, in Shechita Kuri Shechita Ela B'Sofa. Ulekam Mefarish Lamai Hilchasa. Okay, Rashi realizes that we need nafkaminas, otherwise it's hard to wrap our heads around this idea, but the shechita only has the status of shechita according to Reish Lakish only when you get to the end. Masha'enkin, according to Rav Yochanan, shechita is considered shechita from beginning to the end. Rashi, hakol kari shechita. It's all shechita. It all has shechita status from the beginning to the end. Now, Amar Rava, so first and foremost, Before we highlight where they argue, Rava says, let's highlight where they agree. Look, if let's say a non-Jew were to come into Shech the first Siman. Now, let's make this clear. We said this already earlier in the Masechta. Let's repeat it once again. If a guy were to Shech an animal properly, everything correctly, with every halacha attuned to, the shechita is not a good shechita. The animal is a nevela. Yes. We learned it early in the Masechta. If a guy were to shech, even with an omen al gabav, even when someone's standing there and supervising, the shechita is not a good shechita. Period. The Mishnah said it earlier in the first perek. So the shechita of a guy is nothing. It's zero. So the Gemara says, look, here's where we're not going to disagree. So the The first siman was cut by a non-Jew, and the second one was cut by a Jew. She psula. Of course, it's going to be pasul. Share nasa ba ma'isa treifa biyado v'kochavim, because a ma'isa treifa was done by a non-Jew, and so therefore, of course, the shechita would not be good shechita. And ba'olas ha'of nami heched damalik siman echel lamata v'siman echel lamala psula. Shereyasa ba ma'isa chatzas ha'of lamata. And as far as a bird is concerned, again, what are the basic differences between a chatzas bird and an ola bird? Chatzas bird, one siman. Ola bird, you have to cut two simanim. Additional to that is that by a chatzas bird, it is done below the chuta sikra. By an ola bird, it's done above the chuta sikra. It is the opposite, the mirror opposite of animals. By an animal, chatas animal is done above, and the ola is done below. But in the meanwhile, by birds, it's chatas is done below, ola is done above. And you must do the act of malika commensurate to where the blood needs to be sprinkled. Meaning, so for the Ola bird, it has to be done above, and for the Chatzos bird, it's done below. And by the Ola bird, if the first simon was Nimlak below, and the second simon was Nimlak above, that's no good. Why? Because what you have done is a Maisa Chatzos below the Chutah Sikra, and so therefore, everyone wouldn't be in agreement, then that's no good. Now, where do they debate? Where do we see this machlokas play out? In the following circumstance. Well, let's say you shechted an animal, one simon you shechted outside of the azara, that's shchute chutz, and one simon, the second simon, in the azara. Now, laman damar yeshan shchita mitchil v'yatzov mechayev. So the one who says that the status of shchita starts from the very beginning to the very end, so you're going to be chayev. And why? Because even though when you're shechting an animal, and even though that first simon, the animal is not yet shechted, nevertheless, that was significant. Significant enough where one now is going to be in violation of shchutei chutz. Because yesh l'shchita mitzchila v'yatzof. The shchita status goes from the very beginning to the very end. And because you shechted one simon outside, you have successfully violated, it's not success you want. You have successfully violated the isser and the Torah of shchutei chutz. But meanwhile, Aman Damar Nil Shchita Ela Besof, but according to Reish Lakish, who says that the Shchita is only at the end and not throughout, so La Mechayev. So you're not going to be Chayev on Shchutei Chutz, because everything up until marker 51 is just prep. And so therefore it does not have the Shchita status, and you did not shecht, and I'm putting it in quotes, you did not shecht the animal outside of the Azara. You prepped the animal outside the Azara, but you didn't shecht the animal outside of the Azara. Amalei Rabba Bar Shimi Marlo Amar Hachi Umanu Rav Yosef. Now Rabba Bar Shimi says, look, my master, meaning Rav Yosef, he doesn't agree with that. Heichu D'Shachat Siman Echa B'Chutz V'Siman Echa B'Fnim Nami Pasol. No. In that event where you shechted one siman outside the Azara and one siman inside the Azara, everyone says Pasol. Now Rashi over here says Pasol, when we say Pasol, we really mean Chayev. Shari asaba maisa chatas ha'of b'chutz. Because you've done something which is halachically significant. Had it been a chatas ha'of, that one simon would have been halachically significant. So everyone, once again, is in agreement that that is considered a significant act done outside of the azara. And again, you've, according to everybody, violated... Wait, just give me a moment. You have violated the Isser of Shchutei Chutz. Wait, just one second. Let me first finish the Gemara, and then I'll pause. Lo nechleku, ela kigon sheshachat miyutzimanim b'chutz v'gamar b'fnim. So the Gemara says, in order to highlight the distinction, the differentiation between these two positions, what you're going to have to do is entertain the following. You did a minority of the simon outside of the Azara, brought the animal into the Azara and then completed the job. Where, under normal circumstances, what's a miut? So it depends. If you hold yesh l'shchita mitzchila v'yatzof, so that means that miut, even though it's not a completed shchita, but it has the status of shchita, and therefore you're going to be in violation. If you subscribe to the idea of ein l'shchita ela besof, so that miut that you did outside is just prep. Laman, the Gemara spells this out. Laman d'amar yesh l'shchita mitzchila v'yatzof mechayev. Laman d'amar ein l'shchita ela besof la mechayev. Okay, so what the Gemara now has done is highlighted one difference between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, under which there would be a machlokas and a very significant one in terms of what the ramifications would be. I understand the case is unusual and we don't have a base of Mikdash, and so we're never going to get to this case, but at least now we can take the concept and now plug it into a practical difference. If I shechted just but a minority of the siman outside the Azara, brought the animal in and finished it in the Azara, so now the shechita has been done. Part of the shechita, albeit a minority, was done outside of the Azara. And so therefore, if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Reish Lakish, that had shechita status, you shechted outside the Azara, so you're going to be chayef on shechute chutz. Masha Enkin, according to Rav Yochanan, where Rav Yochanan says that shechita is only the besof. Sorry, I flipped around the shechita. I did, you're right. So in other words, what I just described with Rav Yochanan. But according to Reish Lakish, who says that shechita is only at the end, so then the minority that I did outside is only but prep. It's not, does not have shechita status, and so therefore I did not shecht the karban outside of the Azara on any level. And Just give me a second. And the shechita, the only significant shechita that's done is only lebesof, and that was done inside the azar, and therefore I will not be subject to the iser of shkut ichutz.
Why are we talking about shechita for an oath? I'm not melika.
Right. Oh, okay. Fine. That's a wonderful question, and Rashi addresses your question. Rashi points out over here, I didn't quote the Rashi. Rashi says that for shchut echutz of a bird, it has to be done with a knife and shchita, not malika, because malika outside of the azara would make the render a nevela. I admit that part gets tricky. Tosos deals with that as well. I oversimplified it. I admit that I oversimplified it. But in other words, we have a short amount of time. But yes, your point is very good. Okay. All right, let's pause over here. Paraduma, we'll save for tomorrow. Okay, so where do we stand right now? We have we have three big sugyas for today. Our first sugya today is how to identify rov. Is it half and half, or is it the majority, although the Gemara ended up conceding that rov is the majority? Okay, and
is it general for everything?
Okay. Right. Let's just keep to today's daf. Okay, I understand. The next is the redundancy of the Mishnah. Why is the Mishnah repeating that Rov Echad is considered good? So the consensus of every Amora, we had perfect agreement today. You don't have that all the time in the Gemara, but every Amora agrees that the first half of the Mishnah is talking about Chulin, second half is talking about Kachim, and I need the Mishnah to explain that Rov works for both Chulin and for Kachim. And the Trichus that we went over this morning, and what are ways to identify the first half being Chul and the second half being Kachim, also a big part of today's daf. And finally, the third and final sugi that we did today is how do we look at the Shechita? Do we look at it as Shechita being a status of Shechita from the very beginning to the end? And now, I'll get it right this time, and that is the opinion of Rav Yochanan, Yeshna Shechita Mitchila V'Yatsof, whereas opposed to Reish Lakish says no. That everything up until the 51 marker, that's all prep. That's all obviously necessary, but that doesn't have shechita status. The only thing that has shechita status is only when you get to the point of the majority. That is the part where it has shechita status. In terms of its application, we gave one example this morning, and we'll give more tomorrow.